Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, and thank you for your continued support of an ecosystem, an expanding ecosystem of industrial professionals that are dedicated to you. They are bold, brave, dare greatly, they innovate, they solve problems, they collaborate, and they're making the world a better place. You're making the world a better place. We are broadcasting at SMRP's 31st annual conference here in Orlando. We are on site, right dead center of the convention hall, which is really good. And it's surrounded by technology galore and problem solvers like none other. So if you're not here, you need to be on next year. You need to go to the SMRP's 32nd annual conference. Go out to smrp.org. Find out more. You will not be disappointed. You're going to meet people like Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for what an awesome introduction. Considering the crowd here, this is great.
Yeah. It's my view never changes. I see that. I see that. It's the same
we can,
view.
We can trade sides if you like.
No, it'll be weird. Hey, check it out. It's a different world. All right, for the listeners out there, Paul, give us just a little 411, a little background into who Paul is.
Well, I'm the marketing manager at the International Council for Machinery Lubrication. We are the certification body for lubrication practitioners and oil analysts. We've been doing this since 2001. So we develop the certification exams at different levels for different credentials, and we administer them all over the world.
How long have you been with the company?
I've been
with the organization.
I joined 6 years ago. I had a couple weeks shy of 6 years.
What about your background?
My background is in telecom, and then into graphic design as a, you know, self-employed graphic designer for a while, and then into more of marketing communications with several different companies.
That's a front door.
Yes, that's a what a front door. Because when I came in from before joining ICML, I was with a software company that did predictive analytics and heavy into manufacturing. So when I came looking to ICML, it was a nice transition because there's an overlap there.
So, again, expand a little bit about ICML. Just why is it important? Why is this organization? How long has it been around?
Since 2001. That was our first exam in January of that year.
And why is it important?
It's important because there are a number of, there have always been, well, not always, but I mean, for a long time, there have been different certifications for different levels and responsibilities, job roles, different elements of the supply chain and such when it comes to lubricants and lubrication. But the some of the business leaders back 20 plus years ago were looking and deciding, observing pretty much, that there is this underserved layer, this uncertified layer of people who really need to be on board with all the concepts of certification and lubrication, and those people were the practitioners who put their hands all over the $1 million machinery, right? So yeah, they'd be the weak point, the weak link in the chain, right? So yeah, if everybody else is certified, but the people who are actually turning around and squirting the grease onto the bearings or doing the testing of the used oil, yeah, if they don't know or appreciate their role in things, or if their managers don't, then it falls apart right there.
It does. And it's so funny because lubrication and proper lubrication is so... Nobody really listens to it. Nobody really knows that it happens. That these machines out there, I just put grease in there. I just put some sort of lube. I put some oil. That's it. That's sort of the training. But what ICML does is provide these standards, right? Take us through those standards.
Well, originally, the standards you're talking about is a more recent introduction. But early on, you think of it this way, the certification exams, think of those as miniature standards.
Yes, pretty much.
Because you've got people with the requirements, they align with ISO 18436-4. And there are requirements there, and that's for the training entities and such. But what we're looking to do is to standardize where people are in their lubrication journey. So you could have people with years and years of experience and a lot of training, and you could have people with a little bit of experience and a little bit of training, but not all training entities are alike, and so they get hired on. A manager, for instance, wouldn't necessarily know, hey, are we dealing with apples and apples here or apples and oranges?
Yeah.
And certification helps to level out that playing field. It doesn't dumb people down, but it does provide a benchmark so that if you know that no matter what your training background or experience background is, you've filtered through the exam for certification. And so at least you know you've got even keel there with all your crew. How about
No, but that's fascinating, because that's the role of creating standards. You get some consistency. So do I, if I went to ICML, and is there a way of gauging or evaluating me and where I'm at on my lubrication journey, and then being able to craft a way of being able to educate?
Well, I suppose ICML wouldn't necessarily do that. It wouldn't develop a custom exam for you.
Yeah, no. But I mean, it's just like, hey, you're here, or do I have to go through the whole thing, or what? Help us on that journey, because you got these standards, which are very important, but then you have this educational component that is necessary too. Because, you know, if it was me, I would just sit there until the thing just sort of fills on up, and you know, and that's not the right standard either.
Right, and it's always fun talking to folks at conferences like this who have the horror stories from the from the field about things they've seen and things they've had to try to correct for people. And yeah, the training is extremely important. So there's all kinds of training from all kinds of sources. The certifications that we provide require a certain formal training, a certain number of hours covering a certain ratio of topics, and so that's referred to as the body of knowledge.
Yep.
The bodies of knowledge for all of our credentials and the different levels involved are published on our website. Independent training outfits can come to our website, see what that body of knowledge is, see what the resources are behind that body of knowledge, and develop a course curricula to help prepare people for the exam. So we don't even design training for our exams. We coordinate everything with independent trainers.
But if you have the BOC, you're fine.
Yes. Yeah. And that's so there's different trainers around the world who have developed that. Some of them license it out to other trainers and such. And then we work with the training companies to sign an agreement saying, assuring us that they have that they're meeting the ISO specs for training and such, and that all their instructors are certified at least at the level they're training for. That's a big one. And that they're not going to divulge private information or steal the exam information or what have you. So there's certain ethical stuff in there. And so the companies that sign that training partner agreement are the ones that we identify on our website as our independent training partners.
Scrubbed and evaluated and stamped approval.
Yeah, we can't really, the mystery shopper programs, we just don't have the staff to send people out to all the training sites around the world all the time and gauge how they're doing. So the alternative was we came up with this agreement where they volunteer to represent themselves ethically, and it manages expectations.
What was the thought process? You've got your body of knowledge. That's all great. And you've got the certification. What is the thinking behind the 55 series? Why all of a sudden?
Yeah, that is when you're talking about ICML's activities, everything we do is in support of the hands-on practitioners. And so We do the certifications. That's been our bread and butter for years. We have awards programs for their facilities as they implement lubrication management and achieve excellence in some degree. So we have those awards. We have membership packages, and then the fourth pillar, for lack of that's an SMRT term, right? The fourth pillar that we pursue is the development of this standard. So the ICML 55 standard was developed specifically in response to the ISO 55000 asset management standard that ISO introduced in 2014. And it's a broad-based document covers all kinds of assets, financial, physical, intangible, human resources. Mm-hmm. And so the concepts are there, but imagine if the ISO, well, let's put it this way. The concepts are there, they're valid, they can be adapted for specific environments, but that adaptation wasn't there. So if the concepts in 55,000 are here, but the shop floor with all the lubricated assets and machinery is here, how do you traverse that gap? So imagine if the 55,000 document at ISO had been written specifically for lubricated asset management.
There it is.
Well, what would that document look like? Well, we took that on and developed that document. So now it's an enabling standard. It can help a lubrication management system to be developed down here where the machinery is. It pushes all the questions and specificity down so close to the shop that there's even less stuff left to chance. Because otherwise, imagine this, Scott, that one plant's manager handling the lubricated assets would be trying to apply the 55,000 and interpreting it for his department here, and at this plant in another state, they'll be doing it differently.
Right.
And so you wind up with no longer a standard approach to it.
Right.
So that's what our ICML 55 document does. It provides that roadmap or that blueprint to help make that happen.
I'm having a hard time poking holes. Why why would there be any pushback? I mean, the more I have conversations around reliability and asset management, there are a lot of challenges that happen just with your lubrication process. You know, it just seems like that's sort of the redheaded stepchild sometimes in your maintenance. It's like, yeah, I just put some oil, let me put some in there. This is becoming more and more important because it's just the necessity to keep those assets running. Why would anybody be reluctant to do something like this?
People.
It's always people.
Because there's people involved.
There's
yes, people, history. Yeah. Every plant is different. Every plant's got its own set of priorities,
yes.
Budgets, finances, politics.
Yes.
And so while they might be able to take, say, the 55-1, which is the requirements, these are my props.
There it is.
Props.
You got it right.
The 55-1, which was the requirements document. So you might have a manager who's going through this document and figuring out what the requirements are. Here's everything that I should be considering to put together a successful, sustainable, lubricating management system. And, oh, I hadn't thought of this or this or this. So, you know, it might be enlightening.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he can only determine, you know, what's good at my plant now, what's the best possible scenario that can be achieved here given all these other circumstances about my company. It's not a how-to book in the sense of these are the best practices for lubricating the equipment, but it's these are the priorities and questions you should be asking and must-haves to build a plan for managing your lubricated assets.
How do I access this information?
Well, right now, the series is available through our publisher now. So while there's some overviews on our website and the publisher's website about here's the content and such, the book is available through River Publishers. And as opposed to in-house, we aren't handling it in-house.
You're not handling it in-house?
No.
It's your stuff.
I know. Well, we did for a little while, but now they take on all that.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is it an easy read? Does it have pictures?
They took out all the pictures, Scott. Yeah. There's some charts and graphs, and that's it's what you would expect in a reference book. Yeah.
Oh, very good. How do people get a hold of you there, Paul?
They can find us at lubecouncil.org.
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 Well, you were absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed that conversation. Well done.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Okay, we're going to have all the information for Paul out on industrialtalk.com. Reach out to him. You will not be disappointed. All right, we're broadcasting from SMRP 31st Annual Conference here in Orlando. It is a great event. You need to go out to smrp.org. Go out to smrp.org. Get engaged. Be a part of the solution. If you're in the world of asset management, maintenance, and reliability, and everything in between, that is, should be your first stop. SMRP.org. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Thank you very much for joining. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, his name's Paul. He nailed it. It always fascinates me to understand how much goes into industry to make it work, to better just lives in general, to deliver the goods and services that are necessary to make life better around the world. There it is. International Council of Machinery Lubrication. Yes, there is a council, and yes, it's important for your assets, for pretty much, go out right there. Industrial Talk, reach out to Paul, reach out to the organization, find out more. If you're in reliability, if you're in asset management, if you're in maintenance, you need to go there to find out more. Absolutely. Right there, Paul. Industrial Talk. All right. Again, I say it all the time. And the reason I say it all the time, because I want to say it all the time. You need to be involved in Industrial Talk. It's all there for you, industry heroes. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Hang out with Paul. Change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned.